Oftentimes, I think that when we think about the Holy Spirit, we think about Jesus' promise of sending the Holy Spirit to guide the disciples. We may even think about the tongues of fire that came upon those in the room on the day of Pentecost. And these are great examples of the presence of the Spirit in word and in action. Were you a little surprised by the words from Ezekiel in our Old Testament reading for the morning? And there are many other examples from the Hebrew scriptures of the Spirit being present and predicted. The Old Testament has a rich record of the work of the Spirit. But it was not poured out on all flesh under the Old Covenant, that is, in the readings from the Old Testament. Instead, certain men were filled with the Spirit at certain times and only for certain duties. It was rather selective. Joseph was filled with the Spirit of God in Genesis. The craftsmen who built the tabernacle were filled with the Spirit of God in Exodus. Joshua was filled with the Spirit of God in the book of Numbers. And David was filled with the Spirit of God in 1 Samuel. And then in Joel chapter 2, we read, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days." Joel was looking forward to the New Testament, the New Covenant, when the Spirit of God would be poured out on all flesh. "Why, even your sons and daughters, your old men and your young men, will be filled with the Spirit of God." Our sermon text from the morning from Acts 16 tells us the brief story of Lydia and how she responded to being filled with the Spirit. It's a rather strange, short story with a big message for us. In response to a vision, Paul and Timothy were on their way to Macedonia, what today would be northern Greece. And they went to Philippi and they stayed there several days as they traveled. On the Sabbath day, they went outside the gate of the city to a place by the river. There they thought they might find a place of prayer. Now I have to stop for a minute and give an explanation. You see, ancient Philippi had no synagogue. It was a Gentile city. And while there were Jews of the old faith living there, there weren't enough of them to build a synagogue. And so the few Jews that were in the city gathered on the bank of the river for Sabbath worship, where they could use the water for ritual washings. Now Lydia was a worshiper of God, probably a convert to Judaism. And it would seem that she was also a woman of some influence. She dealt in purple goods. And as a result, she knew people of wealth and power in the city. And she was a woman of some wealth herself. Now, apparently, Paul must have spoken to the people gathered for worship and prayer. And as she listened, the Lord opened her heart. And she accepted what Paul was saying. She was filled with the Spirit. We can assume that because of what happened next. You see, after she was baptized, along with her whole household, she pleaded with Paul to come and stay at her home. Now, the remainder of Acts 16 describes Paul and Timothy being beaten and thrown into prison for exercising a spirit from a slave girl. And after their release, they returned to Lydia's house. And then they went on their way. So what's the point of this story? I think it's a simple yet complicated one. Lydia was moved to by the Spirit to accept Paul's testimony about Jesus. She was baptized, publicly expressing her faith. And then she acted with hospitality by taking Paul and Timothy into her home. You see, Lydia ran a successful business selling a luxury product, purple cloth. Now, this was a unique achievement for a woman during the male-dominated Roman Empire. More importantly, though, she believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, was baptized, and had her entire household baptized as well. When she took Paul and Timothy, Silas and Luke into her home, she created one of the first home churches in Europe. She was both generous and hospitable, opening her home to traveling ministers and missionaries. God called Lydia to build a church in Philippi, which she did in her home. She did so by using what she had, where she was. 3 points stick out to me from this story. First of all, God will use the most unlikely people to achieve God's purposes. As a dealer in purple cloth, Lydia would have had access to people of power and in prestigious positions, and she would have had wealth. In converting to Christianity, she was taking a heroic leap of faith, because all of those worldly riches could have been jeopardized. Second point, God opens hearts. God opened Lydia's heart, resulting in her whole household being baptized by her faith. Most of us are familiar with infant baptism. When an adult is baptized, that in many ways, to me, is even more significant. Because in infant baptism, the family is standing for the child and presenting the child to God. In adult baptism, it is in fact an adult person who has said yes. Third point, Christians are called to hospitality. Lydia's household becomes the church in Thyatira. She shares her hospitality with Paul and with Silas and Timothy. Her home becomes a hub where brothers and sisters in Christ find encouragement. We are called to do the same. to be and build the church where we are with what we have. I think it may be appropriate at this point to pause and lift up a point that we often overlook or choose to ignore. You see, Lydia's story goes beyond her as an individual. She was part of a group meeting at the river to worship and pray. She was baptized with all of her household. And she started a house church in her home that was attended by many people. Today in the Western world, especially in America, there is much emphasis on the individual, doing what one wants to do, solving one's own challenges by oneself, worshiping individually as opposed to communal worship. Breaking news. That's not the way God created us, or the way that the evidence of the Spirit is really shown. We're called, I believe, to create cultures of hospitality and encouragement in our homes and in our communities. One of the ways that we can accomplish that is through our church family. We build our church family through hospitality. Hospitality is about the way that we appear, the way that we think, and the way that we act in our homes, in our church, and in our daily lives as we come in contact with others. So let the Spirit show through you. Hospitality is the way that we invite, the way that we welcome and encourage each other and those who visit us. Let the spirit of hospitality be shown and felt both inside and outside our church. For you see, spirit-led living changes lives for the better. So let the Spirit lead you in your church, in your home, and in your community. Amen.